Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then Coach Rick Mahorn, Sensation Nasir Khor, and the Detroit Amps look to protect home court against back-to-back MVP Michael Beasley and the defending champs Miami 305. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays on BET.
Columbus.
From the Ohio News Network, this is Ohio Sports Magazine. Now, here's your host, Jay Fox.
Welcome to another edition of Ohio Sports Magazine. I'm your host, Jay Fox, and this week we're talking Guardians baseball. The season is a little more than 6 weeks in, and the Guards have been the best in the division so far. Guardians Vice President of Public Relations, Bob DiBiasio, joins me to break down the pitching, fielding, and hitting, as well as an exciting new behind-the-plate addition. Then we shift gears to motorcycle sports with MSF expert Andrea Yu providing safety tips. All that, plus our locked on regulars with updates on all the balls next on the Ohio News Network. It's another exciting season of Cleveland Guardians baseball, and Guards Vice President of Public Relations, Bob DiBiasio, joins us now on Ohio Sports Magazine to talk about how the team is doing so far. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay.
Let's start with the big news. On May 9th, the Guardians acquired two-time Gold Glove catcher Patrick Bailey from the San Francisco Giants. Bob, why was this a priority for the team, given that you guys already have Austin Hedges, David Fry, and Bo Naylor, who can all work behind the plate?
The focus of our baseball team is obviously our pitching staff. That's what we've been built on for more than a decade. And this starting five, I believe, is all signed through 2030, a few of them even beyond that, and just hold the catcher's position in such high esteem as we ask a lot of our catchers as they help develop our pitchers and then controlling the running game and controlling what goes on, obviously, on the mound. And just felt that the opportunity to get a guy that has won the Gold Glove in 24 and 25 was too much to pass up. And while you get a player of that caliber, you have to give up some value. And, you know, Tugboat certainly seemed to be somebody on the radar again with the health. Is always an issue, though, but we feel the starting rotation we have will be with us for a while, and to provide them a Gold Glove backstop would be something we couldn't pass up.
Is there any concern that his hitting has really never been, you know, knock him out of the park kind of ball, but in the last 2 years it's gone downhill? Can that be turned around?
Well, I think we have shown that we truly believe in the catcher's position as defense first. I know people took to the social media and said, well, this doesn't help our offense at all. but we believe we're a better team today than we were yesterday. We've upgraded a position that we hold very dearly, that we believe wholeheartedly in the importance of having a terrific backstop, one that, again, controls the game and not looking for tremendous offense from our catcher's position. And so, yeah, you're certainly hopeful that, you know, the bat on the ball skills can get there. But more importantly, the leader on the baseball team behind the diamond, behind the plate, is something we value very much.
Tanner Bibee and Slade Ciccone have both had, I don't want to say an auspicious start, but certainly not the start that we had hoped they would. To what degree will Bailey have an impact on the pitchers and helping them to, you know, hit the strike zone where they need to and put the ball in play when they need to?
Well, I would maybe disagree a little bit with the thought process that they're not. I know Tanner hasn't won a game yet, but it's not necessarily his fault.
Right.
I think our guys have scored on average one run a game when he starts, maybe one and a half. I think he's pitched. He had one horrible night in Atlanta where I think he gave up eight runs. And then other than that, his ERA, I think, is like 2.5 in every other start. And it's just we haven't provided him any offense. Now, Slade, yeah, has been a little inconsistent. His last few starts have been much stronger. We look for him to continue to be much more consistent as the season moves forward. But again, our offense, you know, when we have Stephen Kwan and Jose Ramirez just not 100% at, you know, their best, that really has obviously firm grasp of the obvious here has a has an impact on how our offense is going to roll. And once we get Kwani and Jose to do what they're capable of doing, I think Chase DeLauder and the group are going to be able to do some things offensively that get us going in the direction we need to. Our division is so bizarre, Jay. You see it.
Yep.
You know, we're in first place and we're a 500 team. What I think the National League Central, the Reds are in last place, who come to our place on the weekend and, you know, they're over 500. And it's just an odd, odd start of the season, the first 40-some games. Just a very odd start to the American League Central Division.
Is Cade Smith functioning as the team hoped?
Well, he leads the league in saves, and he's tied for the major league lead in saves. As going into Sunday's game, so I don't know if somebody overtook him. I don't think so. But so I think, yeah, I think, you know, for him to be in a position to lead the league in saves and be tied for the major league lead in saves, I think, you know, he's doing all right. He came out of spring training. He had a little neck injury in spring training that maybe derailed his effort to get 100% throughout his time in Goodyear. But I don't know if that's a guy that we should be concerned with. He's as good as anybody that's handed the ball in what I believe is the most difficult position in all of professional sports. I think the closer's role and job is incredibly difficult.
Well, it's a testament to the organization that you guys have been able to put a guy like Cade Smith in a position where up until the scandal, you had Emmanuel Class A locked in, and performance-wise, he was fantastic.
Well, without question. And then, you know, shameful activity got in the way. Yep. And now all of a sudden we're in a position that we, you know, had an incredibly strong 6, 7, 8 inning bullpen, you know, with Hunter and Cade and others, Sobrowski and Heron and the group. And everybody had to jump up an inning. And
they have
taken the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, last September, Cade was just ridiculous. August and September, he was absolutely remarkable getting tossed into that role. And again, you know, when you're leading the league in saves, you feel good about giving that guy in the ball in the ninth inning.
You sure do. When we come back, we're going to continue our chat with Bob and focus on the hitting and fielding side of things. All this next when Ohio Sports Magazine returns on the Ohio News Network.
T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus.
There's a table in there for kids to just sit there and, like, you look through their cards.
You want
to
battle?
There you go.
Pull your deck out.
That's the thing. Deck. Just to be very clear.
Mornings on The Fan.
Aaron, Ivan.
Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the L.A. Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then Coach Rick Mahorn, Sensation Nazir Kaur, and the Detroit Amps look to protect home court against back-to-back MVP Michael Beasley and the defending champs Miami 305. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays on BET.
Yay! Marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
Back with Guards VP Bob DiBiasio. Let's go around the diamond, my friend. Is Rhys Hoskins going to emerge as the primary first baseman, or is it still Kyle Manzardo's position?
I think it's still Kyle Manzardo's position, although I'm not the skipper of the baseball team. So,
but you could
be. Shall see. Yeah, we shall see what transpires. But, the whole concept of, providing Angel Martinez and Chase DeLauder, Travis Bazzana, and a number of other youngsters an opportunity to show what they can do, to see if they can be impact players at the big league level, is what we're all about in terms of our player development. Kyle Manzardo is right amongst that group. And I think we're going to give Kyle every opportunity. He's worked his tail off to become a much better first baseman defensively. Again, it's just finding that consistency. We think we've seen it from Mr. Rocchio moving over to shortstop and being a much more consistent offensive player.
And I got to ask you a question. Defensively, is he better at short than he is at second, or really doesn't it matter?
I don't think it matters. I think he's, equally as stellar at both positions, but we also believe Travis Bazzana, once he gets his feet on the ground and his legs under him, not everybody's an all-star on day one when they come to the big leagues.
No, but he showed in a recent game that he can make some plays, and he showed heads-up ball in the field.
Yeah, he has. I mean, believe me, we like what's going on. Obviously, he's not happy with his batting average, but he's putting the barrel of the bat on the ball. He plays good, solid defense, and he is an incredible worker and teammate. And we're going to see some special things out of Chase DeLauder. We're going to see special things out of Travis Bazzana. I think Mr. Rocchio moving over to shortstop is a badge of honor for a guy like that grew up as a shortstop and wants to be a big league shortstop. And so, again, I think we're in a position, we just have to be a teeny bit patient.
Right.
And again, we're lucky that our division is doing what it's doing right now, that at 500, we could be at the top of the division.
We do have a little bit of time. Exactly.
We do have a little bit of time, is right.
does Hosey's bat warm up as the temperatures rise? Is it one of those things? We used to, whose bat was it that we used to joke years ago that it wasn't until June or July that they finally were able to hit the ball? I can't remember who it was, but it was a big name.
Yeah, it was a big name, and I'm trying to think. Somebody out there is yelling at us.
It's probably Albert Bell.
Probably. I don't know if Albert or Manny ever.
Manny. Yeah, there you go.
Ever had dips in their ability to hit the ball. But it's I think, Jose typically hasn't been a real slow starter. But it's just, again, these guys are just a click off, and when they get it, our offense will look a whole lot different.
Do we like Stephen Kwan in left field, or do we like him in center field? Because I'm kind of hip to Petey Halpin right now.
Yeah, Petey's a good ball player. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, when he gets out there. Our defense stays a Gold Glove caliber, and seeing what Petey might be able to do, add him to the young players that we want to see if they can make an impact. Now, you know, Stephen Kwan in spring training went to the coaching staff and said, if you need me to play center field, I'll do it. That's what he played in college at Oregon State, and it's his natural position, but he turned into a four-time Gold Glove winner in left field. And so I think that just gives us tremendous versatility to continue to be a good, solid defensive baseball team.
I kind of think that Stephen Vogt and Kenny Atkinson sing from the same sheet of music in terms of who they put on the field or the floor, respectively. They're literally looking at who are the best matchups. And when you think about that, and you think about the potential for injury with Chase DeLauder, is it better to actually have him in the field, or should he just be the DH?
No, he's a player. He needs to be out there. He can play a really good, solid right field, and he's got a good arm. He's a baseball player, so he needs to be out there. We have other options to do some things at DH, you know, giving Hosey a day off here and there, having Reese Hoskins in there, David Fry, et cetera.
What do we do with David Fry and Daniel Schneeman? It kind of feels like we have just one or two too many.
Well, not the way we go about it. You know, our guy, Mr. Vogt, you know, one thing I think our players love about him is everybody, whether you're in the starting lineup or not, you know, when they come to the ballpark, they know they may have a chance to get in, and it could be in the third inning, fourth inning, late in the game, whenever, that they have a chance to play that night. So they better go out and pregame just because their name's not in the lineup and stay ready.
Well, you can tell Stephen Vogt that I accused him of being Kenny Atkinson. I think he'll have a good laugh over that. All right.
I will tell him.
We want to thank Bob DiBiasio for being our guest. We're going to check back in with you at the All-Star break, as we always do. And there's more Ohio Sports Magazine around the diamond when we come back to the Ohio News Network.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is, fast for cash. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. I buy vacant properties, inherited homes, divorce situations, death in the family, apartment buildings, commercial properties. I even buy my tenants won't pay me the rent houses. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
Hi, I'm Josie. My daughter turns 5 today. Blow out the candles. I'm also an Ohio State Highway Patrol trooper. When you move over and slow down, you're not only giving me room to work, you're making sure I can get home to celebrate with my daughter.
Roadside workers have lives and families, but when they're on the job, they put it all on the line to protect and serve us. When you see flashing lights, remember, they're not just roadside workers. Thank you for moving over and slowing down.
Brought to you by ODOT, USDOT, NHTSA, and ODPS.
Feeling stressed or overwhelmed? Not sure how to get the mental health help you need? We've got your back. Call the Mental Health Insurance Assistance Office at 855-438-6442. We'll help you figure out what mental health benefits may be in your health plan. No more confusion, just the support you deserve. Call the Mental Health Insurance Assistance Office at 855-438-6442.
Hey folks, it's game day and the betting's gonna be intense, Drew.
You said it, Dave, but a good pregame routine keeps betting responsible.
That's right, you gotta pause before you play.
Good call. Sports betting is hot, but it can be risky.
And pausing to set limits is an all-star move.
That's right, Dave. If you bet on sports, pause before you play to set limits, recognize the risk, and know when to stop.
Learn more at pausebeforeyouplay.org.
We plant trees because people need trees. And when planted in the right place, they have great impact. Trees help slow climate change, filter our air and water, foster biodiversity, and strengthen our communities. They create the kind of transformational change the world needs now. May is a month filled with opportunities to care for and plant trees. For planting resources, contact an Ohio ISA certified arborist who can help you learn how to take the best care of your trees. Visit trees4ohio.org. That's trees, the number 4, ohio.org.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Get a recap of all the day's news from across the state.
ONN affiliate WBNS-TV reports.
Haley Kirby reporting in downtown Toledo.
From the State House, Kevin Landers.
ONN Canton.
ONN affiliate WKYC-TV in Cleveland explains.
In Marietta, Brett Wharf, ONN News.
Emma Henderson in Genoa.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Listen at onnradio.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts from the Ohio News Network. Bishop and Friends.
So a bubble pops up in the text chain and it just goes, I've called the cops on myself. They're going to clear it out. And they did. So two police officers came in here.
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan. The Fan. The Fan. The Fan. Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
May is Motorcycle Awareness Month, and there are more than 400,000 registered motorcycles in the Buckeye State, making Ohio third in the country for ownership. For some, motorcycling is an active sport. For others, it's their primary method of transportation, and for the rest, it may be weekend warrior leisure time. But the sport does not come without risks. Andrea Yu is an MSF certified rider and coach and motorcycle expert and joins us now on Ohio Sports Magazine. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure, Andrea. Andrea, Ohio State Highway Patrol data suggests that most motorcycle accidents in Ohio happen in five of our most highly and densely populated counties. Why do you suppose that is?
Again, millions of people love to ride motorcycles, myself included, you know, like you said, whether commuting or for fun, and they're really economical ways to get around. But motorcyclists have a much smaller profile than other vehicles, and they can be easily hidden in a vehicle's blind spots. I mean, one of the most common things motorists say after a crash is, I didn't see them.
So what do you mean when you advocate to be more visible to drivers? How can motorcyclists do that? Do they need to wear flamboyant colors?
Flamboyancy could be a lot of fun. So, yeah, for riders, you want to make sure you're as visible as possible wearing bright or light-colored safety gear. Sometimes you can also just wear, like, a high-vis vest over your regular riding jacket. Just don't ride in a vehicle's blind spot. So, again, try to be as visible as possible. But in your mind, when you're riding, pretend you're invisible. This will help you stay alert to what's happening around you. And also, make sure you wear the proper riding gear. Full-face helmets give the best protection. Look for that DOT sticker, Department of Transportation sticker in the back. It means it will meet federal safety standards. Also, jackets and pants designed for riding have abrasion-resistant material and often have full armor to protect your knees, elbows, and joints. You also want to have proper riding gloves and boots. Even when it's hot out, I wear breathable mesh gear. This allows for plenty of airflow, but also still offers a lot of great protection.
Are motorcycle accidents more likely to happen on county roads out in rural areas? Or do you find that being on a crowded freeway is more problematic?
You know, crashes often happen for, they say, a combination of factors. Many reasons, you know, whether there might be distraction, whether you're in a blind spot. And so for that, you know, if you're a car or truck driver, don't always rely on your vehicle's anti-collision technology. Take that second look, check your blind spots before you're changing lanes, making turns, or pulling into the road. So actively look for motorcyclists. And again, stay focused. Those text messages can wait. If you're traveling 65 miles per hour, you can cover a football field in less than 4 seconds. So that one moment of distraction isn't worth a life. And also give riders some space. A lot of motorcyclists can slow down just by rolling off the throttle, which won't activate the brake lights. So keep about 3 to 4 seconds of following distance so you don't inadvertently run into them.
Now, do motorcyclists have to follow the same rules on the road that cars do? Because I know in Columbus, Ohio, where I live, some of those motorcyclists, you know, veer and whip in and out of traffic, cutting people off and going sometimes 20, 30, 40 miles over the speed limit.
Oh, yeah. Motorcyclists follow the same rules as car and truck drivers. We always say, you know, make sure you follow the rules of the road. You know, don't be speeding. Also, motorcycles should stay focused as well. Pay attention to where they're going. And just encouraging everyone to be kind and courteous to all roadway users.
Which brake provides the most stopping power on a motorcycle?
The front brake has 70% of your stopping power, but to stop most quickly, you always want to use both brakes.
And what is the 12-second rule for situational awareness?
So 12 seconds is you're looking to where you would reach when you're about 12, you know, after about 12 seconds. So if there's a blind turn, you're not going to have that 12 seconds of situational awareness. But if you have a longer straightaway, you know, you can look, okay, what will take me about 12 seconds to get to that distance? And look out for things that are on the road. Maybe you'll see traffic up ahead, a stoplight, hills, or maybe 12 seconds ahead there is a curve. So it's ways for you to plan and, you know, prepare yourself before you reach that area.
Sometimes people who ride motorcycles say they have a need for speed. Are there are there safe places to go where you can literally throttle out and just see what you can do?
100%. There is a time and place for everything. So if you are into the speed, we always say go to a track. Like they do have track days. They will inspect your bike to make sure it's ready for the track. And that is where you can practice your techniques, you know, for more speed. But it is enclosed. It's a closed circuit. There are medical personnel nearby. Everyone's in the proper gear. They won't let you ride unless you're in the proper gear and your bike checks out. And then they also have coaches there to kind of help you along. Like some people want to maybe become a racer one day. So they will give you some tips on, you know, how to take the corner faster and how to just get better.
Now, when I was a kid, we used to marvel over the antics of Evel Knievel. And he would do these fantastic jumps that everybody thought were impossible. And we were like, oh, you know, I wonder if he's going to make it this time. And he always did. Is that still a thing or is that not a thing anymore?
There are people who are professional stunters. So Evel Knievel, I mean, he was amazing because he's just a great entertainer, right? But he's also a professional. So he had to practice a lot. There are people who do professional motorcycle stunting. Again, that is a right time and place. They're in closed off areas. Again, they have, you know, professionals around them, medical personnel. So there's still some of that. But if you do want to maybe do like smaller jumps or things like that, this is why a lot of people love going off-road riding. You can take a dirt bike, you can have these dirt trails, and just make sure these trails are made for, you know, off-road motorcycling. Follow those trail signs as well. But that's where you can do maybe like hop over a log or, you know, pop over some rocks. So that's where I like to do some of my riding in that sense.
What is the best website for our listeners to go to learn about motorcycle safety?
If you want to learn about safety, if you want to get proper training for on-road or off-road, like I was talking about, go to the Motorcycle Safety Foundation website. It's msf-usa.org. Again, msf-usa.org.
All right. We want to thank Andrea Yu for being our guest. And there is more Ohio Sports Magazine a lap away on the Ohio News Network.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Save big.
Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then Coach Rick Mahorn, Sensation Nazir Kor, and the Detroit Amps look to protect home court against back-to-back MVP Michael Beasley and the defending champs Miami 305. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays on BET.
Yay!
And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Scattered thunderstorms during the first part of the day give way to lots of sunshine for the late morning into the afternoon. It'll be a warm one with highs in the mid-80s. Tonight, mainly clear skies and mild mid-60s for a low. Tomorrow, hottest day of the year so far with highs around 90, mostly sunny and humid with breezy southwest winds. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan. This is ONN.
There's a saying, if you look good, you play good. And maybe nobody will look better in college football in 2026 than the Ohio State Buckeyes. OSU unveiled new football uniforms this week, a tunnel vision black alternate that returns gray to the sleeves along with a black helmet and black pants. It's yet to be announced when Ohio State will wear those this upcoming season. Also returning to the home scarlet uniforms for the first time since 2006 will be silver stripes on the scarlet sleeves. Austin Ward covers Ohio State for ONN affiliate WBNS-FM in Columbus. He joined Bo Bishop earlier this week to discuss the reveal of Ohio State's core uniforms.
The Buckeye stripe, the Heritage stripe, whatever stripe you want to call it, that's going to be as close to 100% universal approval as you're going to find for improving and enhancing the jerseys and bringing that back. It looked like it is supposed to. This has been, I think, long overdue. And
I said this Monday too, Bud. Tuesday, because they dropped on Monday night. You don't want ambiguity and drop. Or confusion and drop. And I think if the black one was released today and these were released Monday, then you would have had universal approval. But if you looked at some of the comments when they dropped the black one, it was like, okay, great, but are we going to get the real ones? And it was like, if they did it the other way, then I think they would have gotten everything that they wanted out of it.
I'm very curious, and I will probably be asking in the days or weeks ahead, maybe when we get further removed, like, hey, whose idea was it to drop the alternate first when all anybody wanted was to know? Because they'd already been teased about this for a while. We talked to Kevin Reese, I believe. We had him on the Notebook at the Cotton Bowl after the Texas game, and Berm was like, hey, when are these coming back? Because he's been in the same boat as you. He loved it. He grew up with it. They're identifiable. And I had said and made this point a lot, it takes Nike like 18 to 24 months to put these things into production. And Kevin didn't explicitly say, hey, wait until 2026, but it was enough of a clue that we had felt pretty confident that we're ultimately coming back. Well, then you also had dropped another clue on April 18th in the horseshoe when you slapped them on practice jerseys. They didn't look perfect, but they looked like, huh, that seems like not a coincidence that you would do that. So you had all this build up. You had not exactly been hiding the fact that you were going to return them. And then you had a no doubt about it slam dunk rollout that somehow it was like they accidentally pushed the wrong file through on social media or something, because it's like, what? It's 614. You are leaning into 614. That doesn't have anything to do with an alternate jersey. They just put out what everyone wants. So I agree with you, but either way, it's out now.
That was the other thing I said. I go, drop them and then allow people to buy them immediately. Buy them right now. Yeah. They have them ready. But either way, we get what we want, and that's a big, big win. It seems like, big picture, Tony Petitti's going to get what he wants. I saw these notes from the ACC and their conferences, and they're now all behind a 24-team playoff. I can't stand it. I don't want a 24-team playoff. I don't care about Iowa and Vanderbilt playing a game that matters in December. It's not important to me. So I don't want it, but I think we're headed towards it in a big way. What is kind of your view of what now kind of seems like an inevitability?
Yeah, I don't like it, and I think you can read all the other tea leaves. That you had the AFCA proposal last week that was the maximum number of teams. They didn't want to put a number on it, but we understand many coaches were in favor of 24. And as you said, this will have to point to this, whether we do or not, as a Tony Petitti accomplishment. I put that in air quotes because I don't know as a fan what benefit that does for anybody. What this is, we don't need more playoff games for the competitive landscape. And even when you're looking at, and I was surprised, I had to do a double check on this last week, the Ohio State Indiana Big Ten championship game, which we all thought was going to be meaningless, and they're both in the playoffs, drew almost 20 million views, was number one versus number two. And the other, you know, the two lesser first-round playoff games were struggling to get to 8 million. So eliminating the conference championship games and that revenue, I don't even know why Tony Petitti would be in favor of that. It's also why he had been pushing for the conference championship weekends where you had one versus two, and three versus six, and four versus five. That's actually, Bo, I thought it was ridiculous when we heard about it. That was the only version of, if you were lumping them into a 24-team format and the conferences had the clearly defined path to get in, that I was actually kind of okay with Tony Petitti's idea. Now, he didn't do a very good job selling that, and now everyone else in the SEC, included with some of the coaches like, I don't know, Tennessee or South Carolina or Vanderbilt, who might really benefit from a 2014 playoff. Like, well, let's get rid of that part, but let's get eight SEC teams in the field and save my job security.
Yep.
That's going to happen. And not moving up the start of the season, eliminating conference championships, some of the things that are going to have to happen to make this fit, you know, some are good and some are awful. And I just don't, Ohio State doesn't have to say one way or the other how many teams should be in the playoff because they've qualified for every version that's ever existed. So this isn't good for Ohio State specifically. It's going to be good for a lot of the middle tier of college football. But honestly, I don't care that much about that because it's not going to enhance the playoff. And it's going to make those early rounds worse at the expense of the regular season.
We'll be back with more Ohio Sports Magazine next on the Ohio News Network.
Good news. Jack has personally invited the fan to the Memorial Tournament, and we're broadcasting 30 hours of live content, and we'll try not to embarrass ourselves.
Sponsored by Ohio for Responsible Gambling. Visit pausebeforeyouplay.org.
This is
Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then Coach Rick Mahorn, Sensation Nazir Kor, and the Detroit Amps look to protect home court against back-to-back MVP Michael Beasley and the defending champs Miami 305. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays on BET.
Yay!
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. This is ONN.
Well, it's our chance to talk with Jeff Carr, one of the co-hosts of the Locked On Reds podcast. And if you haven't checked it out, you should, because there certainly is great information and presently lots to talk about. Jeff, let's start about what you and Steve talked about in one of your most recent episodes, and that's kind of the lack of offense and some of the people that maybe loyalty is allowing them to be in the lineup when there's questions about whether they should.
Yeah, it's been rough seas with this lineup so far in the year because there's a lot of guys that we've hoped for breakouts, a lot of guys that we've hoped for bounce backs, and those have not taken place. And we're to the point now that even some of the guys that didn't need to bounce back, that were probably solid already coming into the year, are also struggling. And yet the Reds are not seemingly any sort of urgent about making a change here or there. TJ Friedl continues to hit leadoff despite getting on base at a clip that even Billy Hamilton would go, man, that's low. And then you've got Key Brian Hayes who continues to bat, and yet the Mendoza line seems like it's a dot to him because it's so far away. I don't understand why we continue to see the same things. It's Einstein's theory of insanity, right? Do the same things and expect different results.
You know, and it's easy to look at Hayes and Friedl, but is that kind of sucked down Tyler Stevenson as well in your mind, Jeff?
Yeah, Tyler Stevenson is an interesting case because it does feel like he has had a rough start to the season, but his backup is not taking his place. Jose Trevino is even worse with the bat. And then the Reds, through a move that they had just made to add another pitcher, cut the third catcher off their 40-man roster. So they are saying that Tyler Stevenson and Jose Trevino are it, period, plain and simple, and they're not looking anywhere else.
You know, one of the interesting back-and-forth little episodes that you and Steve had this week was whether or not to bring up Edwin Arroyo.
Yes, he is on fire at AAA, and I'll admit, like, is he going to be starting over Sal Stewart or Nate Lowe or something like that? No, but could he provide a spark? I think the Reds have to really consider that, because he has hit really well at AAA, and he's a guy that he's nearing the point where you would expect him to make an impact on the Major League roster, and the Reds have done a good job to at least get him a varied experience, moving him to second base and third base on occasion here and there. So I think that they are trying to get him ready for a call-up. We just need to see it at this point, because at this point, I just don't know that the Reds could do anything wrong with the lineup other than doing nothing at all.
Is that where Matt McClain becomes a question?
I think so. And he's a guy that at least his on-base percentage has kept him viable. He's done a good job of taking a walk when he needs to take a walk, but we just haven't seen the power. We haven't seen the quality of contact help him out at all. And so you can talk about his luck when it comes to batting average on balls in play, but he's just not hitting the ball hard. And so at that point, you do have to wonder when things are going to break out for him, albeit he's looked slightly more comfortable at the plate recently. So hopefully there's a breakout in there. He's a guy that it feels like I'm searching for any sort of sign, even just the smallest tweak in the batter's box, and say, you know what, there it is. He's ready to go.
It's a small sample size, Jeff, but has the addition of J.J. Bleda been a plus?
100%. And it feels as though the Reds were very lucky to find him and Nathaniel Oak both kind of sitting there just waiting for an opportunity, you know, contract be darned. They just want to see some playing time, and both guys have really done well with the playing time they've gotten so far. I would much prefer to see Nate Lowe a lot more, but I think that the Reds have done well to get J.J. Bleda in the lineup.
A question that probably doesn't have an answer, Jeff, but what do you see happening with this pitching rotation now?
It is a patchwork, might even be kind to describe this rotation at the moment, because Brett Lauder just hitting the IL on a Wednesday afternoon. There is some thought, and they're going to keep monitoring him, but there's some thought that Brady Singer may miss his next start after taking a line drive off of his plant foot on Tuesday night. And if that happens, then they really will be digging deep into the AAA roster to find somebody to come up and start, because Chase Petty, who should have been the guy to replace Rhett Lauder, left his last start in Louisville with a blister issue. And he's not Nick Lodolo, which is good, but still, hearing blister just gives you all kinds of bad thoughts in your brain. So hopefully he can recover quickly from that, because he is part of the pitching depth that back in February we lauded for the Reds, and yet it has been decimated to a level that I don't want to say that I didn't see it coming, because the moment I say that, then somebody else is going to go down. But man, this is a lot.
Jeff Carr from Locked On Reds. Thanks as always, Jeff.
Thanks, Paul. Go Reds.
We'll be back with more Ohio Sports Magazine next on the Ohio News Network.
Hey, folks, it's game day, and the betting's going to be intense, Drew.
You said it, Dave, but a good pregame routine keeps betting responsible.
That's right. You got to pause before you play.
Good call. Sports betting is hot, but it can be risky.
And pausing to set limits is an all-star move.
That's right, Dave. If you bet on sports, pause before you play to set limits, recognize the risk, and know when to stop.
Learn more at pausebeforeyouplay.org.
We plant trees because people need trees. And when planted in the right place, they have great impact. Trees help slow climate change, filter our air and water, foster biodiversity, and strengthen our communities. They create the kind of transformational change the world needs now. May is a month filled with opportunities to care for and plant trees. For planting resources, contact an Ohio ISA certified arborist who can help you learn how to take the best care of your trees. Visit trees4ohio.org. That's trees, the number 4, ohio.org.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Get a recap of all the day's news from across the state.
ONN affiliate WBNS-TV reports.
Haley Kirby reporting in downtown Toledo.
From the State House, Kevin Landers.
ONN Canton.
ONN affiliate WKYC-TV in Cleveland explains.
In Marietta, Brett Worf, ONN News.
Emma Henderson in Genoa.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Listen at onnradio.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts from the Ohio News Network.
Hello, it's
John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is fast for cash. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. I buy vacant properties, inherited homes, divorce situations, death in the family, apartment buildings, commercial properties. I even buy my tenants won't pay me the rent houses. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Studies show that people with good oral health are more likely to have good overall health. That's why it's so important to maintain a healthy diet, to brush your teeth at least twice a day for 2 minutes, to floss once a day, and remember to see your dentist regularly. Ohio Dental Association dentists are dedicated to providing the highest quality dental care. Ask if your dentist is a member of the Ohio Dental Association, so you know you're being treated by the best. To find an ODA dentist near you, visit oda.org.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
Now, let's get some highlights from the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show. Here's producer Colin Berenger to set the scene.
Thanks, Jay. This week on the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show, Mary Kay Cabot joins the show to discuss the outlook of the Cleveland Browns, and she has a more optimistic view of the team based on the roster.
I think it's a great rookie class. I think these guys are going to contribute in a big way to victories this season, but it's all going to come down, of course, to the quarterback. So I think the Browns right now have a roster that can win somewhere between 8 and 10 games. If things go really well with their quarterback play, they can possibly be in the conversation for a wild card berth in December. If things don't go so well, I still think that they can approach 8 victories. That's what I'm seeing when I look out there, and I still see a championship caliber defense and now a completely overhauled offense.
To catch the full breakdown, just search the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show on YouTube, subscribe to their page, and enjoy daily content covering all things Cleveland sports. We'll be back to wrap up this week's Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue on the Ohio News Network.
The Fan has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to The Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye Stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome.
Hey, what's up? It's Steve.
Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then Coach Rick Mahorn, Sensation Nazir Kaur, and the Detroit Amps look to protect home court against back-to-back MVP Michael Beasley and the defending champs Miami 305. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays on BET.
Yay! Marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
We want to thank Andrea Yu and Bob DiBiasio for being our guests on Ohio Sports Magazine this week, and we thank you so much for listening. For Colin Berenger, Eric Reeser, and Paul Keels, I'm Jay Fox. Thanks for listening to Ohio Sports Magazine, and join us next week right here on the Ohio News Network.
Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then Coach Rick Mahorn, Sensation Nazir Kaur, and the Detroit Amps look to protect home court against back-to-back MVP Michael Beasley and the defending champs Miami 305. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays on BET.
Yay!